Listen, if you dare, to the Lovecraft Tapes.
Welcome to the Lovecraft Tapes podcast. I am Jeremy, your keeper of arcane lore, and this is Case 17, Seance 9. Your investigators of the unknown are Brian as Ben.
You don't even know me anymore.
Lupine as Rosa.
You also do not know me because I like rosé, and that's a new thing.
And Matt as Diego.
I'm being quiet so they don't find me.
All right, guys. Well, last time, if you'll recall, our fearless investigators opted for responsibility rather than a mad dash from clue to clue. And it's a good thing they did, because they found poor Eugene Eubanks unconscious twice. Thankfully, paramedics and the police arrived on the scene to patch up the old codger, who promptly went back to his old self. The same couldn't be said for Harcourt or Ben, both of whom have been exhibiting strange behavior of late. Currently, it is just before 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 20. Ben is ensconced in his dorm room, trying to ease his aching brain before it's time to catch a bus to Odeon Studios for work. Rosa and Diego are inside unit number 5 at storage, stooped over a sheaf of typed papers which contain information about the actors in the movie Seance 9. All right. So I thought it would be fun tonight to allow you guys to decide which scene we should start with.
Oh.
Would we like to push the camera in on Ben? Or do we want to stick with Lupine and Diego? What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
Should we roll for it?
What are you more interested in seeing? Sure. If you want to do that.
D100. Closest to 100, that's what one will
so you want to go high. Forward with. Rosa gets a 77. Lupine
77.
Brian with 75.
Oh. we know which one. The Rosa and Diego.
Well, not necessarily. They get to choose.
Oh, true.
Matt, what you got?
Roll that D guarantee.
62. Okay, so Lupine, you get to decide which scene we're opening with.
I want to open with Brian's. I really want to hear what happens to Ben.
I was going to choose that too.
Because he's being salty.
Okay, so Ben, you are in your dorm room, and you've been trying very hard to pop a couple pills, maybe. You tell me how you... I know you've been drinking ice water and so forth, trying to get rid of this headache. And as you know, you have a certain other condition that you've been trying to deal with.
Which is feeling a little bit better. I'm a little more calm after the ice water. But
it's okay. Erectile dysfunction is common amongst men.
It is, especially at my age.
But what about boys?
Yeah. Talk to your doctor.
Hey, Matt, he's 18 years old. There's no way you're going to get that thing to go down.
Yeah, right.
Massaging my temples in bed, counting the minutes till I have to get up and get there in time to work. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this newfangled sport called yogging would be beneficial.
Yogging.
Yogging.
I go to stand up, sit up out of my bed and get very lightheaded and lay right back down. Go, no yogging today.
Even though you feel a little lightheaded, you are feeling a little bit better than you were an hour ago. And it is getting time to hit the old bus stop.
Roll out of bed, drag a comb across my head, glance down and see what I'm wearing and consider it good enough for work. Just get my stuff together and slam the rest of the ice water. Grab my shoes, slip them on, and slowly head down towards the bus stop.
So you make your way down through the dorm. You're on the second floor. You know, you see a few people who you know from the dorm wandering around, going to and from classes. Your main compulsion would be ordinarily to talk to them and say hi, but for some reason, you're just not feeling it today. You're actively avoiding anybody that you actually recognize and know who would want to talk to you.
Well, my thoughts are interior right now. Everything is swirling. Got to figure out what these symbols mean. And everything is like intense. The smells and the sounds. And it's just too much. I need to focus. I need to go. I need to get on the bus, which I am dreading getting on this bus because of the smell and the breathing and the sound and the bus driver, the streets being bumpy.
And as you wait patiently at the bus stop, which apparently is running late again, you become aware of rock music drifting your way from further down the block. The lyrics are telling the story of someone taking Susie to the junior prom. You turn to see a Mustang convertible, the color of the sun, slowly idling towards you. Behind the wheel is a woman wearing dark sunglasses, her hair ablaze like molten brass, the red of her lipstick framing a gleaming white smile, laugh lines stretching the corners of her mouth. As she inches closer, you're able to make out a two-piece white bikini barely concealed underneath a sheer muslin dress. At her neck are matching pearls. Upon her feet are crimson high heels. When she reaches your position, she breaks, drapes her arm over the passenger seat, and turns to look at you. You look like an excitable boy. Need a lift?
I'm actually heading to work, but I appreciate it.
Where do you work?
I work at Odeon Studios.
I'm happy to give you a lift. You know, you look like a wanderer in the desert. Have you lost your way?
A little bit, yeah.
Are you thirsty?
I just had a whole glass of ice water, to be honest with you. I've got a raging headache.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, if you're waiting for the bus, you might be waiting for a long time. I heard there was a big accident that happened a few minutes ago, about a mile down the road. Pretty bad. There's like body parts everywhere.
What?
I know. It's such a shame these things happen when people get so careless behind the wheel, don't you think?
Don't they know I have to be at work?
Those inconsiderate bastards.
Yeah, I could definitely use a ride. I appreciate it. What was your name?
I'm Lilith.
Hey, Lilith. I'm Ben.
Nice to meet you, Ben. Ben, why don't you give me a spot hidden, please?
I needed a 45, rolled a 70. That is a huge, fat, red failure.
And you slip into the Mustang in the passenger seat beside her. And she leans over and says, ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
And she slams her foot on the gas pedal, leaving rubber on the road, and you guys are off. She turns down the radio a bit. So how long have you been working at Odeon Studios?
A little over 3 months.
That's not very long.
No.
And what do you do there?
Basically just clean and organize, sort.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, someone who looks like you is just cleaning and sorting?
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere.
True, but you do look very familiar. Have you been in anything?
In your car.
Oh, smarty, and she slaps your thigh.
I'm not a performer.
Well, I think maybe you should pursue something like that. You definitely have the bone structure for it.
Like acting or something?
Yes, exactly. You would look good on the big screen, I'm quite sure. Surely you must have had some actors in your family.
I might have, but don't call me Shirley.
Your father?
I'm not sure. I never really knew my dad.
Are you an orphan?
Nope, I have a mom.
Where is she?
She's at work.
So you're here in town by yourself?
I need an adult. A different one. I feel creeped out.
Ben, show me where he touched you.
I'm not going to show you. I get what you're trying to get at there, Rosa. Why do you have a camera? Show me where...
To document. Just documenting.
What's the sketch artist for then?
So you don't have a actor in your family and you're not an actor. Is that something you would like to pursue, do you think, at some point? You're here in Hollywood. This is City of Stars.
I've never really thought of it. Maybe. I mean, I've never really acted or anything. So.
I tend to believe you because you haven't even recognized me yet.
I'm sorry. Should I have recognized you?
I've done a few pictures here and there. Maybe you've seen them. Maybe you haven't.
Are you Lilith Monroe? You're as beautiful, I tell you.
I'm just plain Lilith.
Just plain Lilith. Like Cher?
Perhaps we'll run into each other again. It was very fortuitous to find you at that bus stop just now. And Odeon Studios is just here up the block. I'm going to have to stop a little short. I need to take a left here. Would you mind if I drop you off here at the corner?
Thank you for the ride. And I'm sorry I didn't recognize you. I don't really see a lot of movies.
Oh, well, we should rectify that.
Oh, my.
Have a good night. And I'll see you at the movies, perhaps.
Sounds good. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well. And she peels off to the left, laughing. You stand on the corner watching her drive away in the yellow Mustang and turn to go the block or two that it takes to walk the rest of the way to Odeon. You notice a billboard going up on the opposite corner, high up on a sixth-floor office building. Two men putting up the panels of this billboard, like, you know, how they roll them out.
Yeah, the paper.
You realize after just a quick glance that the billboard that is being assembled is for a movie called The Ninth Session, coming soon to Star Theater. And the image is of Lilith's face.
What?
Wearing that same smile, bright red hair, pearls, red lipstick, looking directly at you from the billboard. The most surprising thing, Ben, is that during this entire interaction with this woman named Lilith, you never once felt that hatred that has been plaguing you this past day or so.
Yeah, I actually felt like much calmer, like I could actually enjoy a conversation. And there's no way I would even have spoke to anybody before that.
She seemed like a breath of fresh air. She seemed like basking in the sun when you were in her presence.
I love presence.
And you continue on your way to Odeon Studios.
Actually feeling better and positive about the night now. Like I'm ready to go to work. The fog is lifted a bit.
And now we'll shift the camera to Diego and Rosa. Heavy footfalls approach down the wide corridor from the direction of the office. Little Davy, who had been standing at the entrance to the unit, turns with a scowl on his face. Gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind going back to the office, I'll be with you in just a minute. The footsteps get louder, undeterred. Little Davy puts his hands on his hips and walks towards the intruders out of your sight line. Okay, guys, let's just turn around and march back. Ah! There's a moment of silence, and then Little Davy walks backwards into view. He's clutching at something embedded in his gut, where hot blood spurts out onto the concrete floor. He half turns in your direction before crumpling to the ground. The footsteps resume getting closer.
Well, it was nice knowing you. We lived a good life.
We have to get out of here. How do we get out of here? They just killed Davy!
Get the box! Get the box! And then I'm going to hurdle over one of the sets of lower boxes to where there's a little gap now from us kind of shuffling boxes around looking for stuff. And I'm going to start pulling boxes left and right to kind of build almost like an L-shaped wall around us that we can hide behind and hope that they just don't come all the way to the back looking for us.
Go ahead and roll stealth.
Haha! I needed a 60, I rolled a 43. That's a successful stealth.
Oh, I rolled a 77. I needed a 20, so I failed.
Well, it was nice knowing you, Rosa. I'm going to stay back here.
Two heavyset men, identical in every way, from their monotone, tight-fitting gray business suits to their weathered cowboy boots, blot out the hallway light with their massive bodies as they peer silently into unit number 5. Rosa, you are in the process of trying to shift the boxes on the left side of the storage unit to try to get behind there. But then you remember, Diego said to get the papers. So you sort of half turn and start picking up some of the papers that were on the floor. Meanwhile, he is firmly in place behind his little set and has managed to actually take another box and put it right over his head. So he is like in a little fort.
Your authority is not recognized in Fort Kickass.
But Rosa, you are spotted immediately. One of the gentlemen points his finger at you and then beckons you towards him. At the same time, the other massive gentleman pulls out a pistol and points it at you.
Okay. I'm going to go say hi to these guys.
Do you have the papers in your hand that you were collecting?
I put my hands up and I drop them.
And you walk towards the gentleman?
Yes.
When you're within reaching distance, one of them reaches out, the guy who beckoned, and silently picks you up by the scruff of your neck.
Hey, I'm coming.
He puts you down just enough so that your foot touches the ground, and then he begins marching you back towards the office. The other gentleman stays back with the gun and moves into unit number 5. And now that you're in the hallway, Rosa, you get a pretty good look at this guy. Why don't you give me a spot hidden?
I rolled a 38 over a 33, so I'm spending the 5 luck to make that a success.
All right, and what's that take your luck down to?
7?
Rosa got unlucky. However, Rosa did manage to catch a glimpse of the man, even though he was moving rather quickly down the hallway from light to light. This guy looks familiar. Where have I seen him before? Oh, wait. He, or maybe his twin, was the orderly at the retirement community.
The big dude. Yeah.
And for some reason, the knowledge that this brute was somehow posing as an attendant at the retirement community where Sid is makes you very, very uneasy as he escorts you through the door into the office. Diego, you hear lumbering footsteps approaching your location. Give me a spot hidden.
I needed a 59. I rolled a 94. That's a failure.
You think, if I don't see him, he won't see me. You attempt to become a cardboard box in just another pyramid of cardboard boxes. And you think the ruse works because you hear a shuffle of papers, someone rooting around in a box, and then the receding footsteps. And then you hear the door open again at the far end of the corridor. Give me a listen roll.
I needed a 35. I rolled an 85. The only thing I hear is my heartbeat in my own ears.
You are desperately straining to listen if you can detect either Rose's voice or any other indication that they may have gone, and all you hear is silence.
Sit in my cardboard fort and slowly count to 100 before I come out.
The box that had held the Seance 9 typed information is now overturned and everything spread around. You can easily tell that either Rosa took the documents with her when she was captured, or they have been collected because they're not in that stack.
Shit.
And meanwhile, little Davy is slowly going to rot in the entrance.
Crouch down low and very slowly kind of just inch my way to the front of the storage unit. And I'm going to lay down on the floor and just kind of slide my head out just enough to peek around the corner.
And the door comes out.
Damn you, Final Destination.
Fatality.
It is quiet and empty down the hallway.
I'm going to look at little Davy. I'm going to walk up to him. Hey, you okay? Lightly tap him.
He is quite clearly dead. He has a very strange object sticking out of his gut.
Grab a loose piece of paper and then using that, grab it and try and pull it out.
You do, and you see it's quite clearly the broken half of a planchette.
Oh, geez.
And that's when the police arrive. Freeze!
Hands up, throw the thing.
Ben, you make your way to Odeon Studios. Oddly, the front entrance is bolted from inside. You press the buzzer, and after a few moments, Eugene opens it cautiously. Oh, it's you, he says warily, looking left and right down the street. He's sporting a black eye and a fresh bandage on the back of his head. Souvenirs from yesterday's tribulations. Come near, forgot, Thursday. Look, I don't have anything for you guys right now, so why don't you take the night off, huh? I'll vouch for you for the school credit. Don't sweat it. He reaches into his back pocket, pulls out his wallet, and extracts a wad of bills. Here, this is for the full week. You guys did good work the last couple of shifts. Make sure to split it between the four of you. I'll have some more chores for you next Monday. Capiche?
Okay. Are you feeling any better?
You know, got the headache, got the thing, and I'm just taking some Tylenol. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm a little busy right now, Ben. Tell the guys I'm sorry, and, you know, go have some fun. You kids deserve some fun now and again. Life is short.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
See you Monday.
Cool. I'll see you Monday there, Ben. Oh, did you ever find where Harcourt was? I couldn't reach him.
You know, I did find Harcourt. I guess he had like a big exam or something he was really nervous about. He studied all night. So I apologize, but I'll touch base with him again since I'm going back to the school now. And I'll let him know about not to come today and to come on Monday, okay?
Good, I appreciate it. And you tell him, you know, it's not acceptable. He's got to at least call.
We did. We told him, for sure.
Cheers, Ben.
Bye, Mr. Eubanks.
All right, peace. Peace out. You could say that, right? Peace out?
Nah, probably not now at this time frame. In about mid-80s, yes.
Peace in. Sleep in.
Sit and spin, sir.
Good enough for John Lennon, good enough for me.
Yeah.
Did you hear the bolt re-engage from inside? You have a handful of bills meant to be split between the four of you. It's 3 days' pay for each of you.
We're never going to see any of it, Diggo.
I'm going to keister that. Now we can divvy it up. Give me a second. Now I'm going to put it in my pocket and take a step back and start to swivel on my heel to head back to the bus stop and realize I don't have the bus schedule with me because I never need it at this time of day. So how the hell am I getting back to my school? Whip out my Nokia cell phone.
Nope.
My pager then?
Sure.
Because I'm a doctor in the late 70s.
Ben Welby, MD.
So, yeah, I'm going to walk to the bus stop and check the routes and times.
You could probably catch a bus in the next 15 minutes if you wanted to.
Go to the nearest party store.
There's a little bodega just down the way where you guys usually pick up snacks and so forth during your shift.
Oh, yeah, Rodney's.
Rodney's behind the counter. Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? You need some ho-hos?
I just need a root beer, A&W root beer, and then I'm going to do one pack of ho-hos.
You know what? I got to restock ho-hos anyway, so I'll grab a case from back. Help yourself to the cooler there. There's some root beer.
Thank you.
Be back in a minute. And he takes off from behind the counter. Make sure no one steals from me. If you're going to shoplift, let us know, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
And he heads back to the stock room. Behind the counter, it's the usual TV set up above playing the news and so forth. And so you head back to the cooler, and sure enough, there's any pop that you want.
Soda, I think it is in California, but yeah, sorry.
Soda for you people. Pop for us. As you're selecting your soda, you do hear a newscast.
Breaking news. Owner and proprietor of Love Connection Video Dating Service has been found murdered. Police are sketchy on details at the moment, but if you have any information about Owen Butler, who founded Love Connection Video Dating Service at 11455 Laurel Canyon Boulevard in San Fernando, please contact the police if you've had recent contact with Mr. Butler, as they are actively pursuing leads and would like to find witnesses. Who wouldn't? More details at our 6 p.m. report. Back to you, Becky.
Set the A&W down and just leave and start walking back to the school. My mind is swimming. I'm not focused on anything or thinking straight.
Diego, the police have burst from the office doorway and are now pointing guns at you down the corridor. And in strides, your old pal, Detective Gordon. Boys, down. I know this kid. How you doing there, brother? It's Diego, right? I remember you from Odeon Studios.
Yeah. I'm going to slowly point down. I think he's dead.
Judged by the amount of blood on your hands there, I'd tend to agree.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Walk slowly this way, if you wouldn't mind.
Very slowly walk away from the body. Hands are still up the whole time.
As you get closer, Detective Gordon whips out a pair of handcuffs and slaps them on. You're 18, right?
Harder, Daddy.
I'll take that as a yes. You have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say could be used against you in a court of law, blah, 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 blah.
Titty sprinkles. I want you to use that against me in a court of law, bitch.
All right, boys, let's get him out of here. And they haul you downtown.
Downtown.
Detective Gordon is actually in a different car. You're being escorted by two patrolmen. And they take you to headquarters and to a small room, cuff you to the table, and let you sit there for a bit. Ben, you're walking back to the dorm room when suddenly a patrol car swerves in front of you, stops, cutting you off, and out comes Detective Sumner, one of the guys you met during the interrogation at Odeon Studios. He jumps out of the back of the squad car. Yo, that's him right there. Cuff him, boys. And these policemen rush toward you and cuff you quite easily. Toss you into the back of the squad car, take you to a LA precinct downtown, where they cuff you to a table in a small room. You notice that the back wall is a shiny mirror, and you are left there in silence. The two of you are both in similar rooms, alone, waiting for someone to tell you what in the hell is going on. Rosa.
I'm suddenly really glad that I'm with a bunch of gangsters instead of a bunch of cops.
So the gentleman who escorted you quite forcefully out of the storage through the office and out the front door. Give me a spot hidden.
Oh, I failed with a 53 over a 33.
So you are so concerned right now about what is going to happen, because you know that these gentlemen dispatched little Davy rather quickly. You are caught in that fight or flight sensibility. You're just trying to regulate your breathing. This man is so strong that it's only by his grace that he's allowing your feet to touch the ground.
Choke me harder, Daddy.
He pushes you through the front door. You thought you caught something out of the corner of your eye before you left the office, but he was moving you so quickly. Boom. You are out and kind of surprised, I guess, because you've never seen this. A 1962 Cadillac idling, backed up to the entrance. He marches you straight to the back of it, and you see the license plate says CMPHLLND. That seems to strike a chord in your mind. But before you can put it all together, he reaches down with his other hand, bangs on the back of the trunk. It flips up. He throws you in, slams the trunk down. There is perhaps a 3-minute pause. You can hear things moving around outside, but honestly, the Cadillac is rumbling so loudly that you can barely detect anything until you feel the shift of two heavy weights jouncing the springs.
Oh my.
And then this Cadillac roars away. You are trying to keep from rolling around in this very uncomfortable trunk. There's a spare tire in there. There's concrete bricks for some reason. There are a few lengths of rope.
Oh, shit.
Right next to your head is a bag of concrete. And the exhaust is seeping into the trunk.
I feel sleepy.
I'm going to feel around for a knife or a screwdriver or a wrench or something.
Give me a luck roll.
The audience may remember I have 7 luck. I rolled an 11 over 7, so I failed, but not as bad as I thought I was going to.
It would appear that these gentlemen are well-versed at what they're doing with you, and this trunk does not contain anything that would be of immediate use to you.
Okay.
And as you suspected while you were searching, you do feel a little lightheaded, and you do indeed pass out.
They're going to open the trunk to one dead Rosa.
Ben, in comes a detective. Looks like she's in her mid-30s. Very smartly dressed. Very prim. Plaid skirt.
So she's a Catholic schoolgirl. Got it.
She slaps down a folder on the table. You're Ben McKnight, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you visit Love Connection on Tuesday night?
Yes, we did.
Did you speak with Owen Butler?
Yes, we did.
What did you speak about?
We work at Odeon Studios, and we found a movie, and we just wanted to ask him about it if there were any more parts to the movie.
And you've never had interaction with Owen Butler previous to this?
No, never.
What was his state of mind when you left him?
He was in California.
Yes, we're all in a California state of mind.
I think he seemed okay. He seemed annoyed with us that we were interrupting his business. So we were only there for a couple minutes. He gave me a dollar to give to the homeless person outside, though.
Homeless person. What was this homeless person's name?
His name was Billy.
Was this William Masterson?
I don't know. He just said Billy. He was over by the Burn Barrel with some other people.
And you had never seen William Masterson prior to this?
If William Masterson is Billy, no. If William Masterson is William Masterson's, yes.
Okay. Mr. McKnight, I hate to inform you of this, but Owen Butler was found murdered yesterday morning.
I saw it on the news.
Why didn't you call the police?
I started to go back to the dorm to call the police. I even wrote it down on my sheet of the notes I'm taking. And then you guys stopped me and took me. I mean, I was on my way. Cell phones aren't, you know, sold yet. So, sorry, bruh.
Does the name Sid Schlesinger ring a bell?
Yeah, he was the director of the film.
And when did you see him last?
I've never seen Sid.
You've never met Sid before?
No.
How about your friend Diego?
Snitches get stitches.
He might have. I think he and Rosa might have been going to talk to him.
I see, and that's Rosa Garcia, correct?
Yes, Rosa.
You never met Sid Schlesinger, but you did talk to Owen Butler.
Diego and I talked to Owen.
So Diego was with you when you spoke with Owen Butler. Diego also spoke to Sid Schlesinger.
Oh my God, Diego's the common link.
Are you aware that Sid Schlesinger was found murdered as well?
No.
They were murdered in similar circumstances.
What does that mean for us?
That's what we're trying to find out.
I mean, we know about the movie. They all have that in common. We got to find Rosa and Diego and make sure they're okay.
Listen to me, Mr. McKnight. You are in a lot of trouble right now. We have two bodies. You and Diego and Rosa are the common connection between the two.
You.
Is that Mr. Eubanks?
Yes.
We've already contacted him earlier today.
You know what? He was attacked as well.
We have that on record as well, yes.
What if that was the start of it? If he was the first?
Is there anyone else that you know within your circle of people who might have a connection to this film you're talking about, and Sid Schlesinger and Owen Butler and Eugene Eubanks?
Harcourt found the film, but he didn't go with us to investigate anything.
Tell me about Harcourt.
He works with us also for Mr. Eubanks.
Diego, in walks a police woman in a smart suit. Are you aware that Ben McKnight has been arrested?
Just going to sit there and not say anything.
Sir, this is not a laughing matter. This is very serious. It's not a podcast about funny, weird things going on.
This is a Wendy's.
Do you know who Sid Schlesinger is?
You know, you can ask. You can ask my lawyer, because until they show up, I ain't saying shit.
Can you tell me how you got the blood on your hands?
Look, I've dealt with military tribunals that are scarier than you are.
What other transgressions have you performed?
I can't recall it this time.
I see. Mm-hmm. We are authorized to detain you for as long as it takes to get the answers we require. And unfortunately, we have contacted your father, and he is en route. So unless there's anything else you want to tell me right now that would clear you of these allegations, the murder of Owen Butler, the murder of Sid Schlesinger, the murder of little Davy of Europe, stored. Then you will have your father to deal with.
Just going to sit there and stare at her. Kind of like a half-cocked grin still sitting on my face.
Ew, what is that on your... You got a little something on your lips. Oh, God. Oh. All right, Mr. Diego, if that's the way you want to play this, we'll go talk to Ben. He is rather loquacious and likes to tell stories. So we'll see what he has to say. And she leaves you in the room. Rosa, you are suddenly aware of fresh air and sunshine. You're very groggy as two powerful hands slip beneath you.
Oh, Daddy.
And lift your body from the trunk of the Cadillac. You feel as though you're being carried a great distance, but it's almost as if you're floating. Your mind is a muddle of vague fright, but also you feel at peace. You hear birds chirping. You hear squirrels making their little chittering noises.
Hubert!
You can hear the soft footfalls of whoever is carrying you. And then you're indoors somewhere. You're trying to focus your eyes, but the remnants of the exhaust fumes are making that rather difficult. Yet, as you draw in a trembling breath, you feel the capillaries in your lungs expand and awareness creeps back into your brain. You're somewhat surprised that you're still alive. The world tilts momentarily as you are placed upright in a chair, desperately trying to focus on the shapes that you see before you. They're quite blurry. You can just make out some benches on either side. To the left and the right, you can hear the echo, a strange echo of receding footfalls. In the distance, perhaps 100 feet, you can see this white shape, slightly elevated on some sort of platform. It moves, and you hear a noise echoing in this, must be a large chamber of some sort.
Maybe I didn't survive?
No, you can feel the weight of mortality creeping into your bones.
Look around me, like focus and stuff around me.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden then.
I rolled a hard spot hidden. 7 under 33.
You look around, trying your best to concentrate, to make your eyes focus on the blurry images and shapes before you. And it works. The last of the exhaust malaise lifts from your sight. But you wish it hadn't. You are sitting at the back of a church, or at least some sort of place of reverence and worship. To either side, what you thought were benches are indeed pews. 8 rows that lead toward a dais. And the white thing that you saw on the dais is a rood. It is the cross upon which Jesus was crucified. Only it's not Jesus on the cross. It's Cece. She is stripped naked, gagged, making noises as she sees you, tears streaming down her face. She's grunting, and her hands have been bound with rope to the outstretched axes of the cross, and her feet are bound on a small platform at the base. And you realize that Cece is trying to warn you of someone standing just behind you. You feel hands clamp on your shoulders from behind, and someone leans close, their cheek brushing your ear. And a voice says, "Good morning, Rosa. Are you ready to pray?"
I don't pray. Not anymore.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that, right, Cece?
I assume it's holding me in such a way that I cannot turn back, but I'm going to try anyway.
You feel the hands lift, allowing you to turn. And you do so looking back at the woman who purchased the wine for you at the bar. The same copper-haired, red-lipsticked woman, still wearing that bright white smile, looking down at you with unblinking eyes, but depthless mirth.
What are you?
I'm sorry, I'm Lilith.
No, not who are you. What are you?
She smiles and leans in. Well, that's a rather complicated question.
Try me.
I believe you are, or were, in possession of a certain film.
I never possessed it.
Well, that makes one of us. Do you not recognize me?
No, I seem to have forgotten your name already.
Perhaps I should use my original name. Maud Mitchum, nice to meet you.
They said you'd gone downhill, but I didn't know how badly it had been.
Flatterer. Well, we were hoping that you might join us. And Cece here was a little reticent, I guess you'd say.
Why do you have her? Why is she here?
You're friends, right?
She's just some person I go to school with.
Well, I think you and I both know that's not correct. Right, Rosé?
What's Rosé?
All right, play coy. But I would like to extend the invitation to you all the same. Give you a chance, so to speak. You like movies, correct?
I've been known to watch one.
Well, there's going to be a hell of a premiere at Star Theaters soon. Free popcorn?
You can go. Is it Free Country?
Free Country is a little old-fashioned.
I kind of like it the way it is.
You know, there was a time I thought the same, but then I met them. And everything changed.
And who are them?
We're going to find that out together, whether or not you would like to meet them.
I would. I really would.
Excellent. I'm very glad to hear that. That is good news. You'll be in great company. Obviously, Cece is reluctant right now, but
you might as well let her go.
I will. In due time, of course. I do apologize for Griggs and Hobbs. They were, I hear, a little rough with you.
Oh, are those the brick walls?
Yes, they are very fervent about their tasks.
I mean, it's cute that you name your brick walls. It's adorable.
I also would like to introduce you to one of our recent converts. Harcourt? And you hear footsteps from behind, and Harcourt comes into view. Hey, Rosa.
Hi, Harcourt. What's up?
Oh, you know, just, you know, doing cult things and cult stuff.
Are you part of the cult now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. We get to meet the elder gods and all that.
We already kind of did, though.
Those didn't count because they weren't actually gods. They were just like slug people.
How do you know they're gods?
Well, she told me.
And you believe what she says?
I have an aura of truth about me.
You have an aura of something. I would call it the truth. Truth usually doesn't smell that bad.
Well, maybe you're thinking of my je ne sais quoi.
No, I know a word for it. It's bullshit.
That's not very nice, Rosa. Harcourt, you told me that she was nice.
I am nice to people that don't want to get rid of my freedom.
Well, Rosa, I have news for you. I've seen the future, and freedom is a squirrely word to use in these here United States.
What word would you use?
Capitalistic corporate servitude.
I, for one, welcome our Google overlords.
Please don't crash my computer again, Google.
I, for one, welcome our AI overlords.
I totally respect your opinion. You know, this is the 70s where we have to think outside the box now.
The world isn't supposed to end for, like, I don't know, 40, 50 years yet?
It's not going to end. The elder gods are going to ease us into a new way of being. I mean, it's got to be way better than Vietnam, right?
Well, I mean, pretty much anything's better than Vietnam.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. At least just hear us out. You know, we've got pamphlets.
Do your elder gods commit war crimes?
There may have been wars. To what level we might have fomented them, I can't say at this point.
All of a sudden, Henry Kissinger comes out from behind the altar.
I knew it.
I know this is a lot. You've gone through a lot today. You know, we, and she checks her watch, we still have to collect your friends Ben and Diego. Do you know where they might be right now?
No.
Look, Harcourt is here. He can help you out with anything you need.
Hey, Harcourt, you got any ho-hos?
No, I can't eat them anymore. It upsets my stomach because of the cult thing.
It upsets your stomach because of the cult thing? How does that make sense?
We're on a strict diet of other things. You'll find out.
How can you be okay with anywhere that tells you you can't eat ho-hos?
You know, I thought that at first, and then she explained it, and I have the other stuff, and honestly, it's way better.
I'm not convinced.
That's understandable, Rosa. It's going to take time to acclimate. All of our new recruits go through the same process, and you too will come to understand and respect and look forward to this new diet we have going on.
Mm.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's. My candle smells like my vagina.
Oh, I was worried it was going to be Jordan Peterson's raw meat diet.
Is this the start of Scientology?
Damn you, L. Ron Hubbard.
Tom Cruise, where did you come from?
There are spirits, and there's a volcano, and Xenu was there.
Are you tired of the extreme stupidity of Catholicism? Well, here you go. Here's a new one.
Yep. Here's a new stupid
one. The extreme stupidity of something
else. You thought that was crazy.
Quick, put on this magic underwear.
So I have places to be, Rosa. I'm going to leave you in the capable assistance and nurturing aspect of Griggs and Hobbs. And Harcourt here, of course, is able to show you around the place. And perhaps when I get back, we can talk about potentially letting Cece down.
I think we've all let Cece down. Sorry, Cece.
But only I've gone down on her.
Save that for the After Dark show.
Lovecraft Tapes After Dark.
This time it's personal.
Lilith bids you adieu and excuses herself out of the chapel.
Bye, bitch. I hope you die. Love you.
Love you more.
Click.
As Griggs and Hobbs move to flank you, and Harcourt looks on with a worried look in his face.
I'm going to punch him in the face.
This has been Tape 6 of Case 17, Seance 9. Today's episode was brought to you in part by our generous fans and supporters on patreon.com/lovecrafttapes. Would you like to drop us a letter from beyond? Please visit lovecrafttapes.com anytime to fill out our wonderful contact form. Subscribe to our live streams at twitch.tv/lovecrafttapes or youtube.com/lovecrafttapes. Thank you for listening to the Lovecraft Tapes. If you like what you heard, please consider writing a review on the podcast platform of your choice. You can chat with me in real time at discord.lovecrafttapes.com.
And if you are a groovy 70s lawyer or know somebody who is a groovy 70s lawyer, hit me up on either Mastodon or Blue Sky at The Real Weird Kid, because boy, am I in trouble.
And I am definitely not starting my own cult, so you can drop me a note about not cult things, because we're not starting a cult on my linktree/lupinevendetta, all one word. That's definitely not a cult.
Hey, Diego, can I use your lawyer?
Snitches get stitches, bitch.
Reach out to me if anybody can get a message to Diego saying I can use his lawyer too.
Until next time, roll for exhaust fumes.
New from Calvin Klein.
The Lovecraft Tapes podcast is copyright 2024. For more information and sponsorship opportunities, please send email to podcast@thelovecrafttapes.com. Support the Lovecraft Tapes podcast and get access to exclusive content and rewards at patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.